Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Jessica English. I'm in Colorado today. Beautiful, sunny Denver that I love so much. And I was just thinking about how great it is that I get to do my show today and talk with you guys about our topic. It is money and politics. And we'd like to hear your thoughts and opinions and analysis on this election in regards to all of the money that has poured into our politics over the last 6 months to a year. What do you guys think? Is it working? Is all of this campaign financing leading to wonderful freedoms of speech? Or are some of us being left out? What do you think? I'd love for you to give me a call, 646-929-2495. It's an open call-in show today, so I hope you guys will give me a call, and the sooner the better, so that we can discuss this issue, which is one of our core Coffee Party issues. At Coffee Party, we are dedicated to overturning Citizens United, Wall Street reform, and bringing civility back into our political discourse. And, of course, we can't have that last one without the first two. It just makes it pretty difficult to have a lot of civility when there are so many super PACs and all of these commercials and the dark money that's funneled through different groups, and all of that money ends up resulting into a lot of partisan ads and partisan sentimentalities. And right now, it seems like our country, more than anything, really could use some coming together. So I hope we can come together over this topic, and I hope you'll call in and give me a call at 646-929-2495 and talk to me about our topic today and share your thoughts. And last week we had a fabulous discussion. We were talking about Coffee Party's core values and what candidates really exemplify those values for you. And it really resulted in a very dynamic conversation. So if you guys are out there listening today and you were listening to the show last week and called in, I hope you'll call in today as well. It'd be nice to pick up where we left off. It was just such a great discussion, and it really reminded me how much I love our organization and how much I love this opportunity for us to come together and talk about these things that we don't get to hear so much about in our mainstream media. Excuse me, I had to cough there. So anyway, Eric actually wrote up our blurb for today, and I'll go ahead and read it through to give you some ideas and to kind of stoke the conversation. He said, we're tired of hearing what the partisan media empires and their employees think or are paid to say they think. We want to hear from you. Tell America what's on your mind as this historic election day arrives at last. Is Mitt Romney really a moderate, or is he just the MC for a charity benefit for the 1%, exploiting extremists blinded by fear? Is Obama different enough from Bush and Romney to get your vote? Is a third-party candidate of interest to you? What about the down ballot races? The U.S. Senate is hanging in the balance. How about ballot measures? When you cast your vote, you're making a wish. What do you wish for America? So, guys, I know that this is going to be a fun hour and a half. It usually flies by. We have our first caller calling in from 661, so I will get to you in just a moment. But I really do care about your wishes and your dreams for this country. I really do want to know what you guys are going to wish for this coming Tuesday, or maybe you voted early. Give me a call and let me know. 661, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Is that me?
Yes, it's you. What's your name?
Oh, Donnie.
Tony?
Donnie.
Donnie, sorry. Great to hear from you. Where are you calling from today?
Scotland.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You are the first international phone call I've ever received on my show. Are you, it sounds like you're originally from Scotland. Have you spent any time in the States?
Yeah, I'm living in Maine.
Oh, you are? Oh, wow, my best friend was there. What part of Maine are you in?
Portland.
Okay. Cool. Well, what would you like to add to our discussion today? It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts, given that you're from Scotland.
I'll vote Romney because I hate niggers.
Really? You know what? I just want to preface our conversation, and I, well, add this to our conversation, that Coffee Party is very dedicated to having civility in a public discourse. And I personally am offended greatly by the use of that term. And I understand that maybe there isn't a lot to do in Maine right now but call into a radio show and try to incite I don't know what. But you're not going to get it from me, bud. Sorry. So go on. Tell me your opinions. I mean, you can't vote for Romney, but you would vote for him. And did you want to add anything else other than just that you're racist? All right. Well, he's gone. So anyway, that was interesting. My first caller from Scotland. Eric, do you want to join
Jessica,
the conversation?
He said he was from Portland, Maine.
Right. He said he was from Scotland originally.
I think he just has a strange way of pronouncing Portland.
Okay.
But I didn't catch the racist thing. What did he say exactly?
He used the N-word.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. We don't have a 5-second delay beeper. Actually, I guess that is part of the decision 2012 for America. It is sadly a racial issue whether we want to reelect our first African American president. I think most of us are able to look at it in terms of the economic issues, the foreign policy issues, the social policy issues. But I think that there probably is a considerable portion of the electorate who does see this as a symbolic moment for our country. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are interested in squashing all the hope that we had for racial equality and making us feel like, well, what's the use? If they can do this to the President of the United States, then we the people are powerless against the forces of hatred. So that's one of the things that are on the ballot on Tuesday, but hopefully people will call in with other considerations.
I mean, I'm glad he called in. You know, I think somebody's being honest, and we've talked about it a lot here in Coffee Party, folks in our board meet, our editorial meetings, and, you know, in our commentaries and in our newsletters. And, you know, there is an undercurrent of racism in our country that is quite strong. And last week, one of the things that we talked about was an article that came out that talked about a recent poll that showed that Americans, that a measure that they were using to indicate how much racism was apparent in America had increased over the 4 years that Obama was in office from 48% to 51%. And I was absolutely shocked that in 2008, 48% of the country shared racist sentiments with pollers. I living in the world I live in and the people I'm connected to and love, was really shocked that it was at 48% in 2008 and now it's at 51%. And so I think that his call kind of highlighted that aspect of the race. I do want to talk about other aspects of this race because there are so many things going on with money and politics and with our ability to be able to get our messages out, whether they be cloaked code for racist sentimentalities or religious sentimentalities or whether they be actual factual statistics or information that's important for the American people in making their decisions. I'd like to find out what Americans think about their abilities in this new political climate where money has so much influence. I'd like to know what people think about campaigns now that we've had the Citizens United rolling and now that we have seen the outcome of the billions of dollars that were put into this campaign, you know, what did it really buy them? What do you guys think it really bought them? Was that money well spent as a country? I'd really be interested in your thoughts on that. And our friend has called back from Maine. I don't really know if I want to go to him.
Bring him on. I know exactly what I would say to him if he'd have a conversation.
Eric. Hey there.
Hi, this actually isn't from Maine. This is Abrith again calling from Las Vegas.
Hey.
I called him last
Abrith.
Week.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you too again, Jessica. I actually missed that first call, and I came on when the gentleman was talking about, you know, people in this country voting, trying to, squash the hope of, racial progress in this country, and I completely agree with what the other guy on the line is saying. I guess I'll have to go back later on the replay and hear what the guy said when he called in, you know, the first guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it.
Okay.
But, no, it's great to hear your voice again. I'm glad you called in. Eric is actually a Coffee Party president, and
okay.
So he is the gentleman who was talking about squashing our hopes. And so what are your thoughts with all the money that's blown around this campaign season in regards to the money and in regards to our ability to come together as a country? Do you feel that it's enhanced our ability to campaign and get our messages out there, or has Citizens United just led to a lot of misspent money? What are your thoughts?
Wow. Well, there's a lot to respond there to. I would say that, you know, you have people in this country to answer your question who, you know, they don't like change. They feel that they're going to lose power if things change because the status quo either favors them right now or they've been convinced that it does. You hear people talk about, for instance, they don't want gay marriage in the country because it diminishes their marriage. And even though that's not true, if you have these big corporations now saying they're people and putting endless amounts of money into campaigns, that does diminish your one vote as an American citizen. You know, I think that all this money that we've spent has really just personally annoyed me, being in a swing state now watching these constant commercials. Someone asked me what the point of these commercials were, and really all I could come up with is, you know, that 8 to 10% of undecided swing voters, I guess the politicians feel that they're going to vote for, you know, whoever showed them the last commercial before they go into the booth.
Well, this is Eric. I'm the person who you heard speaking earlier. We were sort of shocked. It was the N-word that was uttered at the top of the show. I think what you said is dead on. Even before the Citizens United decision, our political process had been corrupted by money in politics. I think that the Constitution, as it was designed for obviously an era long before television and a much smaller population, what's happened is as the districts became much too large to, in the old-fashioned way, knock on doors, shake hands, and stand on a soapbox in the middle of the town square and reach your constituents, what's happened is that people who have access to large sums of money are able to influence the outcome of elections by buying media advertising and reaching tens of thousands, even millions of people at one time. And I think that with the outcome of the 2008 election, there was this panic in our ruling class where we saw the people actually choose the candidate at the primary level, and then they choose the president despite all that money being spent. And in fact, crowdfunding the candidate was the reason that Barack Obama even was our nominee. It was because so many people had donated to him online, especially new constituents like young people and people of color. I think that terrified our ruling class.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Citizens United decision was basically a reaction to that, a panicked reaction to that, to try to reassert the power that money has over the electorate and that television ads, and as Jessica and I like to say, television political ads that are disguised as news, to try to reinforce the power that has over our electorate. And to tie it back to the man who used the N-word in my response to that, I do also think that the generation of the Tea Party narrative on those same very powerful media empire outlets to basically tell the consumers of these media products that it's time for them to organize because the outcome of the 2008 election is so unacceptable. I think that that was also designed to sort of demoralize the American people and make us feel as if there can be no progress, or that if there is progress, that the backlash will be so severe that it almost isn't worth it. I think we're coming out on the right end, you know, on the right side, but I think we're going to survive that. But I mean, I think we're going to defeat that. But I do think that the combination of the Tea Party narrative and all of the things that come with it, including this caller, you know, who feels now that it's okay to call a radio show and use the N-word, along with the Citizens United decision, that was the backlash against what happened when the Internet basically allowed the people to choose the president in 2008.
So I have two more callers who just called in to the show. 740 is the first area code we'll go to, and then 610 is the next area code. 740, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, yes, my name's Nick Adams. I'm calling from South Point, Ohio, which is like the most southern point of, hence the name.
Oh, sure, and your name is Nick?
Yeah.
Hey, Nick. Well, I know you're in a swing state. I know that the candidates have been there quite a bit. Have you gotten out to any rallies yourself?
No. The closest one that came here, Governor Romney came to Portsmouth, Ohio. And then I believe Vice President candidate Ryan came to Marietta. I think those are the closest that we've had to the candidates stopping by.
Awesome. Well, what would you like to add to their conversation today? And Abrith, we'll come back to you later on in the show if you stick with us here. 248 area code has just called in as well, and we'll get to you guys as soon as we can. Nick, go ahead.
I tell you, the 2008 election, the first election I have ever voted in, and so this is my next one, and I can't for the life of me vote for a two-party system. I can't vote for either a Republican or a Democrat just on the basis of the corruption that has been there ever since the party, you know, were founded. They're so radically different from where they originated from. And now I feel like there are so many better options that are trying to go back to the pure way of just wanting to run the country rather than to be, you know, a monarch, which is exactly what, you know, we were trying to get away from. So this year, I'm actually casting my vote for Virgil Good, the Constitution Party candidate out of Virginia.
And so have you?
I thought about throwing that in the ring.
Have you been able to find other people in your area who are going to join you in that?
Unfortunately, no. I've done some grassroots campaigning, and I've been told by the Republicans in this area that a vote for anyone else other than Mitt Romney is a vote for President Obama. And so they won't switch sides, even though I've shown them, you know, basically Virgil Good is a very rock-centered conservative. And is a clearly better option to Governor Romney, but they say that a vote for him is a vote for President Obama. And then the Democrats, that, you know, from where Virgil Good is a conservative, they don't see Virgil Good as being an option for them. So, no, unfortunately, I haven't been able to find anybody else that's do.
Well, I think it's great that you're getting out there and you're getting active in your local campaign, and especially when you're campaigning for a third party. I've done it in the past. We had a independent governor gubernatorial candidate that I campaigned for, and it is hard work, especially when you are campaigning for someone that nobody's ever heard of. So
right,
in the midst of these two political giants, right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
It makes it very hard. People, you know, they view me as a radicalist, which actually I just want to get back to the Constitution. I think we need to use that as our framework, put on the Constitution glasses, and then try to run the country, and not put on like our own perspective and then try to run the country based on that. I feel honestly that's what Obama and Romney and all the mainstream candidates do, is they just have people telling them what they want, or they have an agenda before they even step in the ring. I'm
I've been part of both of those parties, you know, and we do have meetings where we get together and we're able to change the party platform and make suggestions to the party platform. I've been at the county level district meetings as a delegate.
Right.
And voted on those measures and voted no on some. People who wanted to impeach President Bush, we voted no on that as a county. We voted yes on other things. So, I mean, there were ways to get involved and change the direction of the parties, and a lot of people just don't even realize that you can do that. I'm going to bring
right.
in 610 real quick and find out what they want to say. Can you hold on, Nick, and come back to us here?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, great. Thanks for calling in. So we got a third-party person calling in. 610, I'm coming to you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Liz.
Hey, Liz, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I was just listening to your young gentleman about getting that third party out.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm finding very interesting is I'm with the coffee party right now, and what I see for our future is exactly what he's talking about, but nobody understands what's going on, so they just vote with what they see and what they hear. The thing that I am fighting for is not Democrat or Republican. I'm fighting for us to make an informed decision, and people who tell me you're voting for Obama will be the demise of all of us, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. People like Romney who's saying, if you don't vote for me, you're un-American. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What I intend on doing with my party, which is, again, the coffee party here in the Lehigh Valley, and this is Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
Is just to make sure that people are aware of exactly what that young man is talking about. We do have alternatives. We don't have to stick with the Democrat and the Republican. We can just start getting the word out as to where it's gone wrong, what we can do, and stop saying Democrat, Republican. Just talk about the politics the way it was. It really stinks. I mean, if we think that Obama did not inherit 8 years of junk, you know, I have this thing that I believe with all my heart and soul, is that when a Republican doesn't want to do another 4 years, they put in a lousy candidate. They really do. And it's like they know they're not going to win it, and so they give the Democrats a bone. You know, let's let them pick up the pieces. What we need to do is make informed decisions. Democrat, Republican, bullcrap. We need to start thinking on our own as Americans, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I couldn't have said it better myself. I think it's really important for us to understand who we are as citizens and what powers we do have. You know, people want to talk about the Constitution and all the powers of the Constitution, but what are the powers of the American people and what we can do together in this world, and not just for America, but for the whole world. Thanks for calling in, Liz, and I hope that you'll stay with us. I do come back to all my callers, and after everybody's said their piece, and then we can respond to one another. And thanks for keeping up the good fight there. I know you guys have a very active coffee party, and it's just great to hear from you. 248, and then somebody calling in on Skype. 248, go ahead. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Jessica. It's Vince. Hi, Eric.
Oh,
calling
I'm
in from Wellwood, Michigan.
Of course. How's it going, Vince?
It's going fine. I saw the email and went, oh, hey, I better call in one last time before the election. How are you enjoying Colorado?
Oh, it's so beautiful here. I mean, over 300 days of sunshine, and I'm a solar-powered Leo, so you can just imagine I'm soaking it up. I love it.
Yeah, beats Minnesota. I'm originally from California, so and moved to the Midwest, so I made the opposite transition.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Get out your vitamin D, Vince.
Oh, God. Yeah, I am. You know, I'm calling to say that I'm going to be voting for Barack Obama on Tuesday, but I do have, before I talk about that, I want to have something for the two people before who called about the third parties.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little news item. There's Russia Today and several other sites are broadcasting a debate between the two top minor party candidates tomorrow night.
Oh, great.
Can you repeat
the name of the organization again?
Yeah, the organization is called Free and Equal. That's sponsoring this thing, but it's Russia Today, who broadcast Tom Hartman, who's actually televising the debate, and it's the debate's being going from 9:30 tomorrow night to 10:30 at Today's America Studios, and the candidates who are debating are Gary Johnson of the Libertarians and Jill Stein of the Green Party. And in addition to, this is the second of two debates. The first one had Johnson and Stein and Rocky Anderson of the Justice Party and Virgil Hood of the Constitution Party. And the viewers picked the top two by an online poll that used instant runoff voting.
So let's talk about instant runoff voting for listeners who might not have heard about it. We had an initiative on the, I think it was on the ballot, or somebody who tried to get it on the ballot in Minnesota, to have instant runoff voting where you can actually rate the people that you're voting for. So you vote, you put a one by the person who you think should win, two, three, four. You know, you have a graduated system. And what do you think about that? I mean, I heard that the physics alone for figuring out, like, the mass of it is pretty intense.
Well, I've participated in several online ballots, that including this one, because I did vote, even though I'm not voting for any of those candidates. You know, I've voted for minor party candidates in the past. I mean, my very first presidential election, I voted for John Anderson in 1984. I voted for a Libertarian candidate. In 2000, I voted for Nader.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't vote for Nader in Florida. I voted for him in a state that Gore won, so don't blame me. but so, you know, and it worked. It's kind of a little more work, but with today's computerized way of voting things, I think the computers could sort this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
of course, it comes down to the old joke of, you know, the air is human, to really mess things up takes a computer, but it can be, I don't think it's as bad as you might think, and it actually gives, people the ability to vote for a third party and yet allow themselves to have a result that they could live with pop up next. After all, I don't think that most of the Nader voters in Florida really wanted George Bush to win the state if Nader didn't.
Yeah, right, exactly. So if you could rank people and you could vote for a third party that doesn't have a lot of political clout right now in our country, and you could vote for them knowing that your second vote was going to go towards one of the big party guys, so that if you did vote for Nader, you weren't casting a vote for George Bush. Would you do it? Would you vote for a third party again?
Yeah, I voted. The last time I voted for a minor party candidate, I voted in about 8 years ago for, actually maybe it's what, 8 years, no, maybe it's recent, no, it's 8 years ago to 6 years ago for the Green Party candidates for Wayne State University's governing board.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got a decent amount of votes. So,
well, I voted for
yes.
Governor Ventura, so that was
third-party
vote.
He
did, but it was very interesting to see how a third party works with the other two parties, and it definitely wasn't a result that I'd go back and vote for again. Now, I'm going to come back to everybody else who's called in and ask them the same thing. One thing I do wonder, though, would this solve our problem of money in politics? If people could really vote for who they felt would be the best person to run our country instead of who's the lesser of two evils, would that kind of get rid of this, you know, two-party, money war that we've got going on during the campaign season?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would actually kill off the duopoly. What it would do was would give the third parties a little more power and allow them to win a few more elections, and then what you'd see is, and my prediction is not that you would get all the, that they would kill off money in politics, it's that people would actually start, you know, putting the money down ballot. In other words, the Libertarians have a lot of people who I know have money, and they'd be happy to spend even more money, Libertarians, if they'd have a chance of winning. The Greens don't have a lot of money, but they would certainly be able to get more money from some people to finance their efforts. And the Constitution Party has a very small but rabid base. They don't have a lot of money, but they could certainly have the energy to do more fundraising, and they could siphon off some of the religiously motivated money that would go to the Republicans. In other words, some of the mm-hmm. people like the Chick-fil-A people, you know, and
right.
people like the people that they might actually donate to the Constitution Party, because if anything, they're even more friendly to their agenda than
mm-hmm.
the Republicans are.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it wouldn't kill it off. It would just spread it out some more.
Hmm. Well, lots to think about there. I'm going to go to our next caller, but I hope you'll stick with us, Vince. And thank you for calling in on this last call before the election. Skype. There is one person who's called in from Skype, unless if it's my friend from Northern California who always looks like she's calling in on Skype. Can I get your name and where you're calling from?
Who, me?
Yes. Are you calling in on Skype?
I'm calling from Kansas. Jack Voting.
Hey, Jack. How's it going today?
Oh, fine. I thought you were taking a call from California. Well, I used to live in California, but now, as far as third parties go, I have an idea of organizing one, but I don't. I'm just me, okay? I want to organize a third party along the lines of Franklin and Teddy Roosevelt. Hello?
So what would your third party be focused
okay.
on then?
All right, okay. I would be interested in a very simple tax form that they'll put the accountants out of business. Anyway, that'd be one thing. Would be a very simplified tax form that anybody can fill out. It'd put like H&R. I used to work for H&R Block, and I know a little something about tax forms.
So would you be in favor of closing all those loopholes?
That would be
then?
One thing. Another thing, I would leave Roe versus Wade alone. I mean, it's fine the way it is.
So do you feel that there is a party that you can cast your ballot for this Tuesday and
Obama.
Feel confident?
I did vote for Obama in Kansas on October 17th.
That's right. We talked about this last week.
I talked about that before, and the thing is about that, my area is Hugoton, Kansas, is very Republican-oriented, okay? 87%
mm-hmm.
vote for McCain in 2008. I think even more, I know a lot of Romney voters, pro-Romney voters. And, you know, Romney, I said, okay, one who drives me to the senior center, she said she was very resentful of my remark.
Hmm.
She liked Romney. She actually liked Romney.
Hmm.
It's a woman that liked Romney.
I met a few, too, along the way.
What?
I have met a few women that liked Romney, too, along the way, including my stepmom.
Yeah, and then I had a conversation. I felt very uncomfortable with two women. One was from Wisconsin, of course, and you know, Wisconsin is a hotbed of Paul Ryan.
Right.
I was tempted to butt in, but they were talking among themselves about how they liked how they were so anti-abortion. One thing I'd feel is don't mess with social issues. Don't mess with women's rights. I'd say simplify the tax form, and I'd say give okay. People should who are over $1 billion should pay 50% on the first $1 billion, on the second $1 billion. On anything above $1 billion, that's the maximum tax rate you can have, and that's 50%. And then I would say exempt the first $10,000 of of income for everybody, and then this for seniors over 65 and over, exempt to the second $20,000. And for and then I think I got very well treated by so-called Obamacare. I didn't have to pay, and so far we had went to Kansas, moved between Medicare and Kansas Blue Cross. I didn't have to pay co-pays for doctor's visits.
Well, that sounds good. I'm waiting for Obamacare to kick in still. I have another couple of years, I think. But, you know, you bring up some important issues with the taxes, and I'm interested to find out what the other callers think about your ideas and if they see those reflected in the choices that they have to make.
I just need some people to agree with me. That's the whole point. I'm on Facebook, and I got maybe 650 friends on Facebook, and I haven't met anybody in person except a few I know personally, plus my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow, that's excellent.
I
think there are a lot of people looking for the same kind of common sense, you know, decisions that you're
Common
expressing.
Sense. We got Common Sense Org. Excuse me. There's Common Sense Org, and there's No Labels.
Mm-hmm.
We can bind a lot of those organizations to make a third party, so-called third party, and then
mm-hmm.
you have some of the sensitive conservative groups, like you remember Everett Dirksen, I'm from Illinois, and a few others. Everett Dirksen and Bob Dole even would be a sensible person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bob Dole from Kansas. And
I'll come back to you, Jack. I have a couple other callers who called
in,
going to go to. But 404, you're next. And then 313, I saw that you just raised your hand to speak. 404, thanks for holding on the line. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Robert. I'm calling from Ackworth, Georgia. How are you doing today, Jessica?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's great to hear your voice again. And thanks for calling in on the show today. And for those of you who just joined the show, we're talking about money and politics and our campaign season as it draws to the end. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. And so I hope everybody will give us a call and join into this conversation. I am going to come back to those folks who've already said something and find out what they'd like to add as this conversation has gone on. Robert, what did you want to say today?
And before I get into the subject, if you don't mind, I'd like to just ask everybody, remind everybody about what happened with Superstorm Sandy. And if you see something that you can do or be a part of the help that's needed up there, please jump right in. I've been spending the majority of my week trying to keep people, I'm not up there, but I'm trying to keep people informed. And I did send some people to work up there. And just wanted to remind that to everybody.
Great reminder. And just for folks who haven't heard you call in before, you're with a contractor, so you work on construction,
yeah.
and so I can see where you would be involved in that because you're in Georgia. You know, have there been a lot of teams from Georgia who've headed up there that you know about?
Well, there's actually a number of things going on. The southern states have sent, for example, a number of states have mobilized portions of their power company people and just set the trucks and the workers up there to try and restore power in Jersey and in New York and in Connecticut. Vermont, for example, is covering Connecticut pretty well. They sent down two convoys of trucks and workers. What I'm doing is working with FEMA and a number of other government entities that are, you know, calling me and saying, okay, I need manpower for this project, need manpower for that project. We started one this morning. Restoring a commercial area in just outside in Kearney, actually in Kearney, New Jersey, a 400,000 square feet commercial property that they were trying to get cleaned up and restored, things like that. And of course, we're waiting to get into Queens and Long Island because Rockaway is going to need us really bad because all those houses that burned down, and there's still a lot of places out of power. So you got to kind of wait for the power to come on. And one other thing I'll say is that the gas thing has been really bad up there, but the Hess company, HESS, if you go on their website and you go to their store locator and you see any of their locations that have 7,000 gallons of fuel or more, they're saying to the public that it's a good place to go. So that's something else that can be spread out there because gas has been a major problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have volunteers who I work with in a coffee party here. And our Thursday night call is kind of geared towards the East Coast. It's at 8 o'clock Eastern. And, of course, the week Sandy hit, we didn't have anybody call in, but we had a few people call in this last week, and they were talking about how what it's like to drive down streets that don't have lights, to go through intersections that don't have lights because of dark, and then to see the massive lines for gas. And like, tempers were really starting to get short and, you know, flare up.
Well, it's been 6-7 days. You know, it's going to be 7 days. You know, mm-hmm. People are still my niece in New Jersey has been without power since 2 o'clock Monday afternoon, for example. Now she isn't being faced with anything else, luckily, mm-hmm. at all, water or anything. She's not even buying any water. But Central New Jersey, 95% of Central New Jersey lost power. Period.
Yeah.
You know, and the temperature's going down. You know, we have a storm going up that's supposed to hit on Tuesday. We'll see how bad that's going to be snow wise. You know, and I don't even know anything about West Virginia. And West Virginia got hammered with snow. So, I've been so busy.
I haven't even heard anything
area.
Either.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, I guess when I'm done with your show, I need to go peek because it's been kind of quiet coming out of that direction, which maybe means they're okay, which is a good thing. But, you know, the storm was the biggest storm I've ever seen in my life. As far as I'm concerned, with what it did and the impact of the amount of people that it impacted. So,
I know. And I followed it all the way from when it first started because I had a friend in Jamaica. And, of course, I had Jamaica first hurricane since 1988. And so it was very nail-biter couple of days.
Yeah,
they were without power for 4 days and, you know, no water. Yeah. And I remember when I lived in Virginia, you know, we had ice storms and we'd go for a week at a time without power, which meant we had no water. And I don't know how my mother did it. You know, we blocked off the two doorways to the living room, sat around the fireplace, and we were little kids. And I don't know how my mother kept her wits about her, but I am feeling for those people out there, especially because I do have a lot of friends and acquaintances and family that live out there. Back to the topic today, I do have two more callers that called in, 313 and 770. I'll be right to you. But, Robert, how are you feeling about the election, and what did you want to add to that part of the conversation?
I really think I'm tired of the lesser two evil approach. Not that I think that's what we're dealing with here. It's just one of the scenarios that are being thrown out there. But what I'd like to see is I would like to see all parties dismantled, and I would like to walk into a voting booth and look at the names and not have a party affiliation next to them at all, because I really think the only way that anything is going to be solved in this country is if the voting public becomes more informed, and that would be a way to be more informed. The money has got to be taken out of politics, or we're never going to get anywhere. You know, I was listening to one of your last calls, not the gentleman, but the one before, talking about, you know, how the need for the Constitutional Party and Gary Johnson and Rocky and Jill, you know, they need to be able to raise money. I have no problem with the money coming, you know, in fives and tens and 20s and hundreds. Anything above that, I don't want to see ever again in life. And this election and the Citizens United's decision in the last 2 years, if that doesn't make us stop it, then we're just apathetic and we don't care. We're not being allowed to control. The election is not about the voters, in my opinion. When you have that kind of money involved and you can force feed. I have a very good friend of mine who's in the middle of the Sandy crisis, for example. And mm-hmm. and she's a very intelligent. I know her the majority of my life, and she's so misinformed, for example, that she did a comparison. She posted a comparison of the Sandy gas problem to the Jimmy Carter gas crisis and blaming it on, and I'm like, oh my God, what is God? This has nothing to do with it. And, I mean, that's just so off. But of course, that's the kind of stuff that's being put out there. The super PACs are insane. You know, the signs that have gone, the signs that went up in Ohio, give me a break, you know, about the felony stuff, you know, and
well,
how that was exposed.
You said something about being apathetic and having experienced enough apathy in my life. Where do you get the motivation when you are apathetic to do anything different? I mean, apathy sucks the life out of you. And it just, it's so hard. It takes so much energy to really put forth an effort to fight the kind of mobilized, organized, educated effort that's going to be needed in order to have a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. That, you know, where do we get the motivation?
I don't think an amendment is necessary. I think that if we put a legislative officials in there to take care of that, it's a dead issue. It can be done that way as well. But I get where you're coming from. You know, I have been saying, literally, if you knew me this long, you would know this, since about 1983, that I have been wondering where the hell the revolution is, to be honest with you, excuse my language. The thing that's going to get us out of it is to get pissed off. Because what's going on, I mean, get pissed off and care. When you see wrong being done to other people or rights being taken away from other people because they're other people, I mean, that's all that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to motivate you. And if it doesn't, well, then, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I think that the youth is going to have to rise. And the fact that we're having, for example, these voter issues that we'll call them voter suppression for the moment, because like there was some stuff out today that Mr. I want to be involved in the election process, Ohio Secretary of State wants to do stuff. He definitely is going to influence this election unless he stops. And the election's Tuesday. I don't know how we're going to stop him. You know, he wants to put his name on it, because every time he turns around, he's doing something that he's not supposed to be doing. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And unless we do something to stop this, why, with all the technology we have in this world, as advanced that we are, militarily-wise, cyber-wise, whatever, what the hell are we doing with these voting ways that are just like provisional voting? You got to move the ID thing above the line or punching holes. Give me a break. This is not that hard for people who are this who are technology. And, you know, excuse me. And it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get upset, and we have to become informed, and we've got to put a stop to it. You know, there are things that Gary Johnson says that I love. There are things that Jill Stein says that I love. Absolutely. So. You know, and I was listening to something this morning that was rather interesting about how divisive we are. You know, and with the exception of the Midwest, and the white collar voters that the president is going to get out of the Midwest, every other dynamic is we are just polarized right down the middle as much as you can. Ethnicity, gender, age, income level. I mean, how many different ways are we going to have to be polarized before we say, you know what? Excuse me. I've already written in my head a post that I'm going to put on my Facebook tomorrow to just remind all my family and my friends that I refuse to lose one of them because of a political argument. And we're having an insane political argument as far as I'm concerned. People I've loved have said some things that I'm just like, wow. You know.
Well, I better let some of these callers get on and argue with you if they disagree, or agree with you if they agree, but I appreciate your call, and I'll come back to you if I have time. 313, I am coming to you, 770, and then Ghost Art is the third caller who's waiting. 313, what's your name?
Bob.
Hey, Bob, how's it going? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Milwaukee area. The 313 is just a fake. Not really. I'm just,
you throw me off here because I'm a Minnesota girl. I knew what was going on. What did you want to add to the conversation? And by the way, thank you for holding so long. 770, I come right to you. Go start. 513, I see that you guys are there. Go ahead, Bob.
The biggest thing for me, the most guilty vote I've ever made was for Nader. And the consequence of that vote in terms of ending up with the Republicans again is something that sticks with me now. And I'm looking at the practicality of choosing, you know, the lesser of two evils in terms of our recovery and everything else. With Obama, we've at least begun the recovery. It may not be where everybody wants, but the fact of the matter is, if Romney is requesting or requiring 7 to 10 years to get us back, then for heaven's sakes, give Obama that period of time to bring the economy
good
back.
Good point. That's a great point.
It worries the hell out of me that too many people, particularly of the of my basic political persuasion, which is a progressive liberal, try to make a grand statement by voting for a third party. And believe me, I watched the debates with the third party on who put that on? I forgot. But in any case, I watched those candidates, and those were good candidates. Those are people who I felt I would like to vote for. But the reality is that the left needs to consolidate itself in supporting the lesser of two evils at this point. Because if we lose again, the consequences are going to be phenomenal. They're going to be much, much worse than it was when Nader was running, in that the economy is not doing well at all. We cannot afford the luxury of trying to change the system, which I agree. The runoff race is just the way I think it ought to be. You know, just, you know, choose the top three that you want or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure how that's articulated.
You know,
It's
hard because some people say it's not constitutional because you're only supposed to be one person, one vote. But I you know, you're starting to talk about the reality of the situation, and let's talk about the reality of the situation, folks. I mean, we have this situation where we have these two very powerful, very moneyed powers in our country, and to the point where other very valid people can run, and we don't even include them in the debate. We, you know, it's amazing they even get on the ballot, in my opinion, because it seems like a waste of ink. But not because I wouldn't vote for them, but just because, you know, of the way the system is set up. And so when we talk about the system, when we talk about this two-party system, you know, instant runoff voter, people say that would change it because that would give some of these other parties a chance to really garner some support, some power. You know, and talking to my friends, a lot of them don't want to vote Republican or Democrat. They'd love to vote for some other party, but they don't because of your exact sentiment, Bob. And so I'm just wondering, what are things, you know, other than just making a choice between the lesser of two evils, what could we be doing here so that we can leave our kids with a better choice?
Become involved, become active, get into the Progressive Democrats of America. I mean, at least that's one thing. And also get involved with the other parties that are offering alternatives. Because you don't have any interest in politics doesn't mean politics doesn't have any interest in you. That's going to come down real strong this time. I need to ring off to take care of some other business, but I will continue listening, okay?
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate it so much. And I know you've called in before. I always enjoy your comments. Ghost Art, you're next up here, and then 513, and then Paul will get to you. Ghost, go ahead. You know what? I have to open your mic. I'm sorry, Ghost. Ghost, are you there? All right, I guess we just have some music there from Ghost. I'm sorry I didn't open your microphone sooner. 513, thanks for calling in. Can I get your name? Let me open up your mic here. Go ahead.
What in the world was that? I just heard something say, unmute it.
I don't know, but I don't know if they were trying to get through and then couldn't, and I'm not sure. But anyway, go ahead. What's your name?
Going on in technology lately. Anyway, this is your friend Laura.
Hey, Laura, how are you today?
I'll tell you the truth. Even thinking about Mitt winning scares the crap out of me.
Oh no. Who has thought about Wednesday? I mean, I've given it a little bit of thought. I'm trying not to think about it because I just don't know what to think. But other than those thoughts, what else would you like to add or respond to from this conversation?
Well, I kind of came in late, Jessica, because we had dinner over at my boyfriend's parents' house, so I didn't get to hear all of it. But I did want to tell you there was a woman who wrote a book called Independence Rising, and they said over 40% of the country now considers themselves to be independents rather than Republicans or Democrats.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was called Independence Rising?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Well,
and you look at the voter turnout, and there's a lot of people who just don't go and vote. I have a friend who's from Australia, and you're mandated to vote there. And he thinks that that would really solve a lot of America's problems because people were forced to vote by law, that they would actually pay attention to some of these things and really put some flesh into the game. It's called Independence Vote. I'm going to look into that. It sounds really interesting. No, Independence Rising.
Independence Rising. Write it down, Jess.
I'm typing it up there. You know I am, how good my memory is. Well, that
don't feel
is
bad. You ain't alone.
Well, I got it. Thank you so much for that. And I'm going to look into it and find out what would that mean for a country if 40% of people are independent? And who the heck are they voting for? I bet they're like the folks who've called in and said they're voting either for an independent or they're voting for the lesser of two evils. Paul, I'm coming to you. I'm sorry for making you guys stay on hold for so long. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I'd like to talk about how I'm voting for Romney.
All right.
Yeah,
where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Texas.
Texas? Okay.
Yeah.
And you're casting your vote this time for Romney. Go for it. Tell us about it.
And I think his, policies are great.
I'm sorry, you're a little bit hard to hear. You said you think his policy is great?
Yeah, his policies are great, man.
And which policies are those, particularly for you, that interest you?
He's going to get rid of all the Muslims and stuff in America.
Really?
Yeah. They shouldn't be here. That's not their country.
So, okay. That's an interesting perspective. And are there any other policies other than perceived racism that you feel that Romney will support that you're interested in voting for?
Yeah, give me a sec.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go.
Yeah.
Sir, go ahead with you were saying about Romney. Sir? Okay, crazy. We're going to go to 908 next. 908, you're on the bottom line with Jessica English. Eric Byler subbing in real quick. Where are you calling from and what's on your mind?
Hi, Eric. This is Todd Lang calling from New Jersey.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
We've got it sounded like that movie White Noise with Michael Keaton.
Right, right. All right. I'm sorry the guy couldn't communicate with us because...
I'm sorry, guys. I had to go throw up for a minute there. I just, I get that people have opinions and I get that people want to call in on stuff like that, but this is a serious discussion. And this is a serious discussion, my friends, because our country is in a serious predicament. Until we start to recognize what is at stake and what we could lose in our country when it comes to people's rights, when it comes to people being able to marry whomever they want, when it comes to people being able to earn a living, not just a life sentence in poverty, we need to start being serious about some solutions and not just about our hatred and our racism and everything else. And I'm sorry, I have kids.
Are we okay? Or am I on?
Oh, sorry, Chad. Go back to you, Chad.
No, I'm kind of sorry the guy couldn't continue on with it because I think that I'm not sure I caught what he said exactly, but I think that there is a lot of white fear derived from Romney's attraction. Without, you know, without really paying attention to how the demographics of America is changing, and we are changing, so, you know, get over it. but I guess some people never get over it. Really, the only reason I wanted to call, well, a couple of things. Number one is that there was a lot of third-party talk at 7:30 tonight on live stream. I guess it's the three or the four third-party candidates, Jill Stein, Rocky Anderson, Virgil Good, and Gary Johnson are going to be in a debate moderated by Ralph Nader going to that.
Wow.
So that's at 7:30 tonight, so you can all watch that. I must say I listened to an interview with Jill Stein on Truth Dig Radio yesterday, and I was incredibly impressed. I also have another suggestion to listeners if you're curious about it. If you go to votesmart.com and answer their questionnaire on all the issues, it sort of tracks where you stand by just answering questions. And once you've done that, then on each topic, it'll tell you which candidates are in agreement with what you selected were your choices. And it's really eye-opening. And a plus about it, aside from the presidential election, it'll also tell you in your state who you your opinions are in agreement with. So
that's
for those
great. VoteSmart.com.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's real. I think it's actually VoteSmart Easy. Well, it's actually VoteSmart.com, but their easy thing is where you do this questionnaire. And I know in this time of year we pay most of attention to the national elections, but the presidential election, but we also have representatives to vote for as well. And if we haven't been paying attention, this is sort of a quick way to find out who's on our side individually. The other thing I wanted to say was there's and this is for anybody that's out in my area who's suffering from gas lines. I was very pleased to say that I was only in line for 15 minutes today to get my gas. People are observing the odd even rationing that we're doing. And I just found out from Stephen Mance in New York that there's a website called GasBuddy.com where you can type in your zip code, and people are putting down, you know, sort of a crowdsourcing thing, who has fuel, who's open, who's not open, and stuff like that. So that could be really useful for those of us that have to get back to work that need fuel to go. And I suppose that's all I have. I guess, and the other thing, I guess, well, I'll say I am voting for Rocky Anderson. Of course, I'm in New Jersey, so I'm in a blue state. I mean, I hope it's a blue state after Hurricane Sandy. I'm not sure it will be. Depends on how many people can actually get to the polls. Although, a very interesting thing occurred yesterday, as far as that we are able, or I'm not going to have to do it because I didn't lose anything really, but they are going to be accepting ballots via email. Of course, this assumes you have electricity, you have a computer, and can get to your county clerk's office via by calling them. But they will email you a ballot, and you can fill it out and email it or fax it back to them, and it will be counted.
Wow.
And I think that's a first.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And the cool thing about that, if it all goes well and it doesn't turn into a 2000 nightmare or something like that, could really open up this democracy for us if we can get – you know, it sort of eliminates the whole voter ID thing. If we can do it by email, then we can all stay home. And everybody can vote. It'd be awesome. So, anyway, those are the only points. I just checked my 4 points, and that's all I really have to say.
Well, thanks for calling in, Todd. I appreciate you calling in.
But do listen if you can. Anybody's interested in third-party candidates, listen. I mean, the Vote Smart thing, and if you listen to Gert Truthig and listen to the interview with Rocky Anderson and Jill Stein, I think you'll be really impressed. So,
I was listening to Jill Stein on Bill Moyers, along with her vice presidential candidate. I forget the woman's name, and I was really impressed with the both of them. I would love to vote for them. I'm in a swing state, so I'm a little bit nervous about it. But we do have more people who've called in, so
okay.
I you know, appreciate you calling in and mentioning that. 269, you're going to be up next. And Chad, good to hear that the gas lines are getting a little bit smaller and that things are more organized there. Sometimes it does take people getting together to make things organized. You know, for those who want to go back to just, you know, libertarian type style government, you know, I think this disaster really did kind of bring up the importance of the ability for us to get together. You know, Eric, in answer to your question, I think that's the same person who called in before that made me sick. So 269, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Gooby and I'm calling from Michigan.
Thanks for calling in. What's your name?
Gooby. And I would like to say that I'm voting for Romney on the basis of religion. He is he doesn't like gays, and he's an awesome person. He's very religious, and that's why I'm voting for him.
And are you a Christian, Muslim, Jewish person? What religion are you in, sir?
I am a Jew.
Okay. And Romney is a very religious person, but he's not in your religion, so I don't get the whole, like, solidarity.
No, but he holds the same ideas as me. Like, first off, he's a Mormon, and that really appeals to me. And also,
mm-hmm.
like I said, he supports my religious perspectives. He will reduce the gap between church and state, which I think needs to be done.
Really?
Yeah.
How has that worked out for the Middle East?
Well, in the Middle East, I think it's pretty good in the Middle East.
Why did we go to Iraq then? And why are we interested in going to Iran if we want to reduce the gap between religion and state?
Well, it's different for us because for them they were Muslims and it's a way different religion. I think Christians are a lot more better behaved in a sense. But for us, I think it needs to be done because it will keep us better moral. I mean, our kids won't be going around slanging their schlongs around and getting other people pregnant.
Okay. Well, so I'm a Christian, and I definitely disagree with Romney on a lot of things. So I'm just surprised to hear your views that because he's religious that you feel that he will hold up the same kind of religious views that you guys have. I know. So I just think that your points are very interesting. You know, I understand that you feel that Mormons are going to have the same kind of religious viewpoints as Jewish
yeah.
people because
and
they believe in the Bible,
but
they also have another book, too. And I guess maybe the point isn't really religious. Maybe it's social values that you hold in common. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I also like this guy. His name is Jimmy Russells. He's from the Lemon Party. I was considering voting for Jimmy a while back. He's a great guy. Like I said, he's from the Lemon Party. Look it up if you have time. It's www.lemonparty.org.
Mm-hmm.
He has the same world perspective. Great guy. His running mate was a guy by the name of Brett Favre, but not the football player, but his running mate was named Brett Favre. Just a great guy. I talked to him before. He believes
mm-hmm.
in all the stuff I said. He thinks that there should be no separation between church and state.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I, you know, with all of the different schisms in Christianity, I mean, you're Jewish. In the Christian religion, there are so many schisms among all the churches. I'm not sure how that would really work out as far as having religion in our politics. 937, I think that it would be about as good as having all this money in our politics. But 937, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Mike in Ohio.
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Pretty good. I'm voting for Obama.
And why are you voting for Obama, Mike?
Well, I've seen, I just don't believe that Romney's a truthful man. All you have to do is follow all the statements he's made in this here campaign. And one place he's this, and the next place he's against what he was for in the previous place. And I honestly think that middle income Americans survive. We can't have him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just for his record, he's a greedy man.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate your perspective as well. And Mike, do you think that the campaign, with all of the money that was spent on the campaigns this year, do you feel that Obama has been able to get the message out, your candidate Obama has been able to get the message out the same way that Romney has, or do you feel that it has been difficult or made it harder?
Romney definitely has more money, but I personally think both of them have too much money, that I think this whole thing has gotten out of control on both sides. Romney, I just read on the internet that they've outspent Obama 2-1. So like I say, it's go back to the older days. I don't think we need $1 billion to decide who's president.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this country ran, for several hundred years without it. Why do we need it now?
Hmm. Good question. I'm going to actually bring Eric Beiler in. I know he's got some thoughts on that. Eric, go ahead.
Well, Jessica, do you need me to spell you for a bit?
Do I need you to what?
To spell you for a bit.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but everything's good here. The kids, you know, are my kids, and they'll interrupt
okay.
me every now and then. And everybody
right.
who listens knows I'm a single mom. And guys, this is what being politically involved is. It's not about perfection. It's just about doing it. It's about getting out there and doing it, whether it's perfect or not, whether you're Mother Teresa or not. It's just about going out there and giving it your best, and that's what I'm doing today. So every now and then my kids are going to come in and talk about the sky is falling because they heard about it on TV, and hopefully you'll hold in with me.
Okay, well, I was just here to support you. So.
Are you guys on the internet or channel, or how do we listen to you? Hello.
Okay. Well, this is called Blog Talk Radio. So you go to blogtalkradio.com/coffeepartyusa, and we're on 5 days a week. Jessica's show is Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We have a Monday night 11 p.m. Eastern show, and then Tuesday night I have a show. Actually, we're moving it to Wednesday because of the election this week, called The Middle Ground with Michael Charney. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. There's a Thursday 3 p.m. Eastern show called Lunch with Loudon, and a Saturday 1 p.m. Eastern show called Politics Done Right. Mike, any more thoughts on, you're in an important state right now. How do you predict it's going to go?
Well, I think that Obama's going to win it. But I also know that Romney's son owns a voting machine, so that's kind of scary from my standpoint.
My God, he's
serious. His son is part owner of the company. They gave a contract to the voting machines for him. This has just come out in the last few days here. And I hope nothing goes wrong. But
if you want something to worry about, I think that these really long lines that are happening in Florida and Ohio, especially in the districts that are more populated. And as we all know, districts that are more populated tend to be more diverse, and districts where there's more diversity means that there's less fear of the other because you actually know people of different races, and that's where the Democratic strongholds are. And so unfortunately, with the Republican Secretaries of State and the Republican governors in those two important swing states, there has been a lot of chaos today in Florida and Ohio, with people waiting as many as 6 hours to vote. We're talking about senior citizens standing in line for hours and hours, people told to leave because they'll never get there in time before the doors close, and then a change of heart, and they say, no, you didn't have to leave, but many of them had already left. And so that's the real concern. It's sort of a test of the will of the people with all of these obstacles, the money you mentioned that's being spent the intimidation tactics, the voter suppression tactics, and just the ugliness and the partisanship that makes people lose heart in our political process. People are going to have to show a lot of heart, maybe go to the polls more than once, maybe wait in line a long time, especially if they live in diverse parts of the country, if the people's will is going to be reflected in the election. So let's hope there's a lot of heart out there.
Let's hope so. Well, I just lost the caller, 865. Sorry about that. It took a while to get to you. 770 is calling back in and waited for a long time as well. So 770, thanks for calling in. What's your name? 770. If you're calling in with area code 770, go ahead.
Hi. I'm from 770.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. I wasn't sure if you were asking for me or not. Sorry.
No worries. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Paul. I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. Well, my dad lives in Georgia, so I was born there. I know it
awesome.
Well.
very new here. I've only been here for about 2.5 years.
And where are you originally from then?
I'm from Rhode Island. Well, Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. So how are you feeling about this election? If you have family back in Rhode Island, are they going to be able to vote?
Oh, I don't see anybody having an issue with voting. I am very tense about this, very I have a lot of tension on this. And one thing I do want to let you know up front is politically, we probably don't see eye to eye. A friend of mine who told me about coffee party is very much on a different political view than I am. Personally,
ask you about that? Because coffee party, you know, we believe in having civility in our public discourse, talking to each other nicely, not name-calling, attacking one another.
Right.
A personal way. I mean, we can disagree on what we believe is the right policy for our country, and we can do it in a way that respects the other person and recognizes their humanity. Is there anything you disagree with on that?
Oh, I entirely agree with civility. And, you know, personally, whenever I say something that I disapprove about President Obama, I'm getting tired of being called racist.
Mm-hmm.
I am about as far from racist as you can get. People seem to equate disapproval
of him.
People
just assume that you're racist.
I'm sorry?
People just assume that you're racist if you disagree with Obama.
That's mostly what I get. The reason that I tend to find that people want to vote for him is either because he's black or because he's Democrat. Personally, I don't care what his skin color is. The thing that matters to me is how he performs while he's in office.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I heavily disapprove of his work performance. I don't see that he has done much good, and I know the other option is Mitt Romney. I think he could certainly do a better job. He has shown a much better track record in Massachusetts, though my ideal pick, though I think he doesn't have much of a chance of winning, is Gary Johnson. He's a libertarian, and he's very constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, I know there's a lot of controversy going back and forth, and typically when I ask somebody who plans on voting for President Obama why they're voting for him, I usually can't get anything, and when they do give me some information, usually they give me about half the facts. And I will when somebody asks me, you know, what don't you like about what President Obama has done, and I have no problem with giving a list.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the only thing that I like that he's done is he put some federal funding toward education, which I saw in Georgia. Other than that, I really can't say that I agree with really anything else that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I
know that one of our friends in Georgia who called in, Robert, he works for construction in the construction industry, and I know that for him, one of the things that was saving grace was the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which Obama did not veto. He signed into law. It's now called Obama Stimulus. And so, I mean, that would just be another thing. It saved a lot of jobs there. I know I said earlier in the show that I would try and get back to everybody who called in earlier, and this is a hot topic, so we've had callers who are continuing to call in. I do have a caller who's on hold at 401, and 401 I will get to you. Of course, I will go back to callers if I have time. You know, I hear what you're saying, Paul. I hear that you're saying that you just disagree with Obama, that you're interested in libertarian, and do you feel like the campaign finance system, the way it is now, is favoring who you would ideally like to vote for, i.e. the libertarian?
I think that the way the campaigning is, the way the funding is, needs to be completely revamped. We can't have a system that is favored toward just the two parties. And the independent parties aren't even really getting hardly any exposure. All people, and I tell people about the other parties, they said, who's that? You know, we need more than just Democratic and Republican, because people don't know anything about them. And, you know, a couple things I wanted to mention about the, you know, about what Obama, you know, President Obama has done, maybe get a little feedback on that, is, you know, when it came to stimulus, personally, and I realize that he's under a lot of pressure, and he, you know, he came into a bad situation. Throwing a ton of money at a problem isn't going to solve it. There was little accountability toward the stimuluses. Companies gave their executive bonuses. People outsourced. GM outsourced.
I think we get your point. I do have two more callers who called in. I have 8 minutes left in the show and an announcement to make, so I'm sorry to meet you there. But I hear what you're saying, and I have environmentalist friends who disagree with Obama's job performance and others as well. So I hear what you're saying. 401, go ahead. What's your name and where are you calling from? And 702, I'll get right to you as soon as I can. Go ahead, 401.
Hi, Jessica. It's Linda in Rhode Island, and I just want to say hi to my friend Paul in Atlanta, Georgia. I kind of turned him on to a little bit of the coffee party.
Awesome.
I'm very, very happy to hear him call and voice his opinion. I was just thinking about, like, who I was going to vote for this election. And as Paul said, he and I are on total opposites. But we both can talk to each other on Facebook civilly. And I totally understand where he's coming from, and he understands where I'm coming from. But I think that we have to all get to the next phase of that. We all want the same thing. It's just how we get there that I think is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the next part that I would like to see us do, even as the Coffee Party and the other organizations that we've been involved with this year, is let's really, really, really work on getting the money out of politics. Let's get the finance campaign reform. But everybody, and no matter who you talk to, they all say that. These ads that we're watching now are absolutely ridiculous. Everyone's had it, you know. So
yeah, I agree. I'm in Colorado, and my 7-year-old is in love with Obama. He couldn't do no wrong in her eyes. Every time he would come on the TV in the past, it was for a speech, and I'd always be like, you guys, you know, it's the State of the Union, please don't talk. And so when she would see him come on the commercial, she'd say, Mom, everybody be quiet, it's Obama, you know, and now she's finally used to the fact that there's just a bunch of commercials. So I know that it's kind of been a little bit overwhelming for her even.
It is. They are. And, you know, they really have just been – both of them have been feeding into everybody's fears, I think. You know, you really haven't had a, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to get there commercials. It's just, he's not going to do this, and you're not going to have that.
Oh, you're hard to hear, Linda, your voice. Can you try and get the microphone closer?
It's like, you know, the commercials lately have just been, they're fear from both sides.
Yeah.
What
happens to the politicians who said there's nothing to fear but fear itself? It'd be nice to see some of that.
Right. So, anyway, let me go back to my original thing, that who was I going to vote for? I think I'm in a pretty solid Democratic state in Obama, and I did use that vote smart, which I thought was an awesome tool. And It did come out with, I thought I'd be a little bit more with Joe Stein, but I actually was more in line with Obama. But I think that being that the state is going to be so solid, I am going to send that message, and I think we'll see what happens when I get in the booth. I think I am going to vote Bill just to send a message. You know, I think we have to do that. If I for a minute that my vote was, you know, going to make a difference, I don't think I remember, like, years ago, I think when I was just beginning to vote, I voted for Ross Perot, and at that time I don't remember why, but I thought that was a thing to do. So, you know, I'm just going to vote for someone different, and I do hope that by the time the next go round, we'll have 4 years to work on this. I certainly hope that everyone running for president does have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for calling in and for that message. And oh. I agree, and it's more than just voting to show your support, but we also, like you said, really need to get the money out of politics and really need to get out there and work on that. 702, thank you for holding. This is my last call for the show. 702, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jeannie from the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, Jeannie from Las Vegas. Awesome to hear from you. I just want to let my other callers know who have held with me for the whole program. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry that I won't be able to get back to you. But thank you very much for your calls and for calling in, and I wish we had more time. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Okay, I've already voted for President Obama. I went straight down the ticket. And I just wanted to say about the stimulus, that young man has a right to his opinion, but I believe he was wrong. 40% of it was tax cuts. To me, it helped small businesses, and I think Obama's done the best job he can do with the obstructionist GOP that he's had to work with. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. You know, I have to agree. One of the first pieces that I was able to publish was a piece for Minnesota Public Radio, and don't get the door. And I actually was able to be a benefit of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. That's how I was able to go back to school in 2009. And because 80 million, I think, went to fund the Pell Grant program, and I was able to get a Pell Grant and go back. We also lived in a home that was built in 1885. And because we were low income, we qualified for heating assistance. And we were able to, after years of applying for help with our weatherizing our home, we were able to have our home weatherized. And after they assessed it, they found that our wood-burning stove was not enough. And so we got an Obama furnace, that's what we named it. And we were able to have our home heated adequately after that and insulated. And then the other thing, of course, was the bridge a block down the way that was built. And I know that that provides jobs, as well as weatherizing our home, as well as the professors who taught me in school. And so when people say it didn't do anything, I really have to question their idea of economics and so and tell them how it definitely improved my life. Anyway, I appreciate you guys hanging in with me on this show. I'm sorry for all the interruptions with my kids, and that's my announcement. I am moving to a different time slot. I am a single mom, and my children used to go to their dads every weekend. Now they are with me every weekend, and it's just been difficult. So I have enjoyed hosting The Bottom Line on Sundays, and I enjoy all the callers who call in, and I hope that you'll be able to follow me to my new time. It'll be Monday night. It's going to be a bit late for my East Coast friends. It'll be 8 p.m. Pacific time, which is 11 o'clock on the East Coast. I do anticipate that people can go to the archive and listen that way as well. But it definitely will work out better with my kids. So thanks for all of your opinions, for calling in today and talking about money and politics, for talking about third parties, for talking about your political views and other views that you hold. I'm sorry I got a little bit heated there. I do want to apologize for my outburst, I guess, and my very strong opinions. But I do appreciate hearing other people's perspectives and people being forthright with those opinions. Sometimes I feel, you know, that it's a little bit fake or at times, you know, just there to incite something other than civility and reason, which is what we're here to do at Coffee Party USA. So thanks to everyone who was civil and who was willing to call and share their thoughts and opinions. And even if we do disagree politically, even if you are voting for Romney, and I might be voting for Obama or a third-party candidate, I do think that these conversations are important because this is how we move forward as a country and how we work together. And that's what government and democracy is all about. It's working together to move forward. And so I hope that everybody will get out there and vote. And after we vote, that we'll start working together to address all of these campaign finance issues. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Bye-bye.